was a great worship time, wasn't it? Trainer, somebody say that was good. You guys can have a seat this morning. For you that are at home watching online, you know what? If you're in your PJs, you're missing out. I'm just telling you, there's nothing like being together, being with the body of Christ together. So excited to be here today. So this past week I was hunting, and some of you have asked if I got anything, and I decided to become a pacifist and not kill. No, I'm joking. I didn't get anything. It was a dud of a weekend, but great time with family, and Pastor Scott was here. Wasn't that awesome? I mean, I was just so thankful for him to come and share. We're thankful for the foundation that he has laid and the elders have laid at this church that we get to have the opportunity to build off of. And just, I want to do a little side comment. Rich Dougherty, I don't know if he's here this morning or not, but we are praying for him and his family as they are going through a difficult time with Sherry's loss. I want to encourage you as a church family to love on Rich and his family well during this time. It's a difficult season when you lose somebody. Rich lost his wife, and we want to love on them well. We're a church family, and there's a reason for that. I like you guys. I really do. I got to preach in Minnesota this past week. They asked me to preach at a church up there, and coming back, I'm like, I like you guys better. You're just, there's something about you Iowans. I don't know what it is. But hey, we're going to be talking about being a blessing, and but it's going to be in a non-churchy way, okay? We're going to get really real about this because we use phrases, if you're in church, that you're blessed and God wants to bless you. But oftentimes, I feel like we don't really experience blessing. Now, I know we do, but we're going to really dive into this and unlock this because I believe in the God's word that you are actually supposed to have a blessed life, a blessed life. And there's certain keys, there's certain things that you and I can do to actually unlock that. And it's completely biblical. And actually, I told my wife, you know, I came home this past week after studying this. I said, I am learning so much. I never knew. Why haven't we been doing this? And I want to share those things with you because we're going to be talking about how God has designed you to be blessed. And we're going to hit on some really fun issues. We're going to talk about money. I believe you're supposed to be blessed financially. I don't believe you're supposed to be called to live paycheck to paycheck. We're going to talk about relationships, boyfriend, girlfriends. What does that look like? We're going to talk about sex. Oh, yeah, we're going to go there at this church because actually it's biblical, all right? You can't fight me on that one. We're going to talk about how God's designed your mind to be at peace and how you're actually not supposed to have anxiety in your life. We're going to get into all that. So it's going to be an unbelievable month, and you're going to want to come and get ready for it. It's going to be so good. And one way that you can be a blessing or actually experience blessing is being a blessing to others. And so we as a church, it was already been mentioned that we are going to do 1,000 boxes, and we're not going to call them boxes. We're going to say 1,000 kids. We're going to reach 1,000 kids through those boxes that we put together. Last year, we had a goal of 700. And you guys remember what we got? 699. So we're going to do 1,000 this year. But I want to put a little heart behind it. So Dan, could you play that quick video just to show a little bit more about Operation Christmas Child?
Count of three, when children open their shoe boxes, they're so excited.
I mean, it's just been incredible. Kids are so excited, giving them a gift, do it in Jesus' name, and that's what this is all about.
Jesus loves you.
It's a gospel opportunity. It's the chance for the children to change the entire life.
The word of God is spreading. The gospel is advancing.
It is impacting children. It is impacting families. It is impacting the world greatly.
Thank you for praying. Thank you for giving. God will bless, and God will use your gift to touch the life of a child and to be able to do it in Jesus' name. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of it. God bless each and every one of you.
So we have an awesome opportunity to really be a blessing. And so here's my simple challenge to each and every one of you. Whatever you did last year, double it. Whatever you did last year, just double that. And we're going to exceed that 1,000 kids to hear the great news of Jesus Christ. So I haven't exercised in a long time. I've gotten into the dad mode. But when I used to run, there was this time where I was running down the road once, and I came across this house with a dog. And I was running past, and I think, oh, cute little pooch. Next thing you know, the dog tried to kill me and chased after me. I don't know if you've ever been chased down by a dog, but it's actually quite terrifying. And, you know, I don't know, do I punch this dog? It could be a family friend. I don't know what to do with this thing. And so I finally got away from this dog, but that feeling of being pursued, it's a strong feeling. And you might have experienced that in your life. Maybe you feel pursued by an animal or a dog or a car behind you, but there's this kind of this feeling that comes with it. And with this idea of blessing, do you know that blessings are actually chasing after you? There's actually blessings chasing after you. The Bible tells us this. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely your, God's, goodness and love will follow. That word follow actually means pursue me all the days of my life. So there is this blessing, this goodness, this love that is coming after your life. It's trying to chase you down. It's trying to get a hold of you. And God desires to bless you. He wants to bless you. And the word blessing actually means the word favor. So I one time worked in elementary school, and so we had a lot of kids, and I had a favorite kid. And the rest I didn't like, but there's one kid that I really liked, and he was my favorite kid. And you know, if you have a favorite kid, what do? You show favor, right? You give them, you don't have to answer that question. You're okay. You know, here's the extra chocolate milk. You know, you show little favor. And that's what the word blessing means, that God wants to give you favor. And for his children, he actually wants to pour out his favor on your life. Isn't this great news? He wants to do this. He wants to pour out that favor. But a lot of us don't really, we may acknowledge that, but we don't really feel that or even experience it. Most of us have come to a new norm in our life. We feel like we're supposed to be stressed out. We feel like we're supposed to be overwhelmed. We're supposed to be just covered in debt, paycheck to paycheck, just making it by. Our marriage, our relationships with our boyfriends or girlfriends are on the rocks always. We have a lack of hope. Most of us, insecurity has become a new norm in our life. And we don't really know what it means to live an abundant life with God. And so I want to push past all the kind of cliches and actually give us some keys that God gave us in his words to unlock that, because it's his desire. Jeremiah 9, verse 24 says, I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. He actually finds delight in pouring out his love. Psalm 35, verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteousness cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God finds pleasure in giving you prosperity. These are all biblical concepts. Now, I want to break one thing down first. Whatever we teach here today can be applied in Zimbabwe. Because oftentimes when we live in an American church, it's easy to say, God's going to bless you. And maybe the image that comes to our mind is some televangelist say, send $1,000 and God's going to give you $10,000. You know, he's going to bless you. But actually, what God designs for blessing can be applied here and also in Africa or in Iran. That God has certain blessings that he has designed for you. So you're going to need a Bible today, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 30. So if you are at home, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to be looking at two verses today. We're going to kind of springboard from here, but Deuteronomy 30, verse number 9. God's talking to the Israelites, but I believe these principles apply for us today. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 9. Give you a moment to churn there. So this is what God says to the Israelites. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands, and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord again delights in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your ancestors. There's three things that God hits on. Three things that I believe will hit home to each and every one of you. The first one is the work of your hands. That's just life. That's doing laundry. That is just cleaning up. That's clicking on a football game. That's just life. The work of your hands represents your life. The second one is the fruit of your womb. Well, that's having children. That would represent family or relationships. And the third one is your livestock and the crops. Well, some of us are farmers, but most of us aren't. And so what that represents is finances. So there's three key areas that God says he wants to pour out his blessing on, prosperity on, is life, family, and finances, according to this passage. Now, oftentimes, these are the three that most likely don't feel good. Most likely, these are the ones that give us stress and anxiety at night, and we worry about our relationships with our kids or with our spouse, or our finances are keeping us up at night, or, you know, our life just feels overwhelmed and just out of control. And so these are areas where God's like, I'm going to pour a blessing on. And so now we get to the key. What is the key to actually experience this? Because it's just not like this cliche thing. Verse number 10 actually gives us the key. It says, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in the book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So God says, here's the blessing. If you obey my commandments that are written in my word, my Bible, and if you turn your heart and your soul over to me. And so the first one we're going to look at is this idea of your life. No matter if you are in middle school or you are in the retirement home today, your life is full of a lot of different emotions. And one of those emotions that often affects our life is our own peace. A lot of us experience a level of anxiety and stress and overwhelmness. And I believe, based off of God's word, that is not how you're supposed to live. I don't believe you're supposed to be overwhelmed. You and I are just so darn busy. We got so much to do. Right now, you got 50 things on your checklist to get done as soon as I get done talking. There's so much to accomplish, so much to do. You got to leave here. You got to go clean the car. You got to pay the bills. You got to go do your homework. You got all this stuff to do. And in our life right now, feels like all these things to accomplish. We are just busy. And that busyness eventually wears on us and gives us stress and anxiety. But one thing I thought about, we actually all can make time, though. You know that, right? We all can find time. And one thing that me and you always find time in is free stuff. Have you ever noticed, if there's like a free donut day at Dunkin' Donuts, how long people will wait in line for that free donut? Like, there's like a line for like 30 minutes to get a buy one, get one free donut that costs a buck. And the one that actually makes me laugh, I actually was at Costco the other day and I actually started laughing. Because this was before COVID, but they had samples. And there was like 50 people surrounding this little booth for like a quarter of a hot dog. These business men and women are just like, when is it my turn? And they're just waiting there for the microwave to heat up a hot dog. I'm like, you were like spending 15 minutes for that hot dog. You know, there's something about us that's like, we want free. You know, I will waste my life to get that free whatever it is. It's just weird inside of us. You guys do it online. My sister, she doesn't know I was going to say this, but she does that online survey stuff. You know, you spend like 2 hours answering surveys and they give you $1.50. I mean, it's like, why? But we're just wired that way. We want to get a deal. We want to get the most out of it. So we'll actually find time for things that we feel like will bless us. We feel like if this is going to have a good return, a quarter of a hot dog, I will give 15 minutes for this. So it truly isn't that we don't have time. We don't know how to use our time. We don't actually know how to place our time and how to use what God has given us. And actually, God knew this about us. He knew that you and I are going to have a problem being busy. He knew that you're going to just become a workaholic. He knew that you're always going to be on the run. And so he created a word. It's called Shabbat. It's actually a Hebrew word called Shabbat. And what this word actually means is to cease and to stop. Now, I know this message doesn't apply to you because you got this under control, but just to let you know, your neighbor doesn't, who's sitting next to you, they need this message. So give him a little nudge and say he's talking to you, okay? Let him know, hey, you need to stop. God actually designed this. He called it Shabbat. Psalm 23 tells us this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me. Have you ever noticed I'm a parent of four and under, three kids, one more on the way, and so life is busy. And one thing that cracks me up is that my kids, when they're exhausted, what do they hate doing? Sleeping. It's like when they are so overwhelmed and exhausted, it's like a spit in the face to go to bed. Like, how dare you suggest I take a nap right now? I am just fine. As they're like crying and pooping their pants. It's like, just go to bed, you know? And I feel like God is probably going to want to tell some of you that today. Just go to bed. Just rest. Just stop. Some of you need to be released today, okay? Just stop. Shabbat it for a little bit. You're all wound up. You're all, again, this isn't for you. It's for your neighbor, so it's all okay. So just, you're all wound up. God wants you to cease and to stop. Now, how does the Lord make us stop? Because truly, we have a lot of control over our life. It's not like God's saying, okay, nap time now, lay down. But he actually kind of did. He actually put a nap time in our week. You know what that is? It's called the Sabbath. God gave us what is called the Sabbath. And he actually didn't put it in the suggestion box and say, hey, this is a good idea. He actually made it one of the Ten Commandments. So God created these Ten Commandments. And just think about this. Out of everything that you could do bad, there's like the top 10, okay? Top 10 highlights. Don't do these. You know, don't murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't steal somebody's woman or husband. You know, this is what you should do. And you know what he puts in there? Keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, the word holy isn't some churchy word. It simply means to be set apart. So out of all your other 6 days, there should be one day that's set apart. Now, I know some of you are sitting there, and you're thinking, there is no way I have time for that. I can't give up one a day. I mean, there's just too much to get done. Now, God made you. He knows what you need. And he said, there's one day that you're supposed to Sabbath and rest. Well, you could say, well, Tim, that was for the olden days. Modern Jesus now, he ain't like that. He's got Uber and everything. He's good. Well, actually, Exodus 31:17 tells us, it, talking about the Sabbath, will be a sign between me and the Israelites, what's that word? Forever. For in the 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Now, if God rested, do you think you need to rest? If God rested, we need to keep that day holy. No matter where you are in life right now, if you're a teenager, you need to have one day where you're setting apart to rest, to keep that holy. And I thought about this. There's consequences to disobeying the Nine Commandments. So, one of them, do not murder. So if I go out there and I kill a Packers fan today, you know, will there be consequences? Yes! Murder has consequences. If I go and steal, is there consequences? Yes. Okay. If I go and covet or I try to steal somebody's wife, adultery, is there consequences? Yes. Now, for some reason, you and I think, well, there's no consequences if I don't Sabbath. There is a consequence. And you know what I believe it is? Anxiety. I believe anxiety and stress is the consequences of us not Sabbathing, us not resting. Have you ever just taken a nap before? Like Kirsten does this to me sometimes, where I'm just like angry and I'm tense and I'm just like, oh, everything's bad, everybody's awful. She's like, Tim, go take a little nap. No, okay. I'll turn on some music, you know, I'll tuck you in. I'll take a 15-minute nap. Man, life is great. I love today. It's amazing what a little bit of rest can do for the soul. And God knew this, and he says, I want you to take a break one day a week. And I'm gonna push against the thought process. Going to church on Sunday is not Sabbath. That is not your Sabbath. That's something that we are called to do in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews tells us, don't forsake gathering together. So would you guys gathering together? That's biblical. We're supposed to come together just like this. But that is not considered your Sabbath. Your Sabbath is actually designed for you. So here's three things to help you Sabbath and actually describe what they are. So if you're taking notes, these are going to help you out. The first one is this. Prepare for the day. Prepare for the Sabbath day. So I think of the movie Home Alone. Kevin! I love that movie. But there's this movie called Home Alone. It's a Christmas. We're getting the Christmas movie. We've already watched the Hallmark last night, me and my wife. And so one of those movies was Home Alone. And so it's the scene where this big family is going to go on a vacation. And so if you guys remember the movie, there's a moment where their alarm clocks get unplugged and they wake up and they're going to be late for the plane. And they're running around like crazy trying to pack their bags and get everything together. And they get in the car and they get to the airport. They fly away. And the mom's like, I feel like we forgot something. And then she yells, Kevin, she forgot her son. Because life was chaos. And I realized because they weren't prepared for that day, the bags should have been all packed, all in the car, all ready to go, every kid accounted for, there wouldn't have been the consequences of that. And what happens a lot of times, we say, okay, we'll take a day off. And we get to that day, and life is like, what do you want to do? I don't know, what do you want to do? The pastor said to do this, and it's boring. You know, it's like, you know, that's what often happens. I'm falling apart. Switch it. Check, 1, 2. I have David's singing voice now. Okay, perfect. I could lead you guys in song right now if you'd want, but I won't do that. But that's the consequence of not being prepared. And so here's my simple encouragement. And my wife and I, this was an eye-opening thing for me just this week. Like I'm talking to you not as a teacher today, but as a student. I said, sweetheart, we aren't preparing for a Sabbath. Like we show up on a day off and we're like, I don't know what you want to do. I don't know, you watch the kids and I'm going to go take a nap. You know, it's like, there's like no, and we thought, hey, what if we actually prep the day? What if like 3-4 days before, we actually plan out what we want to do on that day, what it's designed for? What if we have all the dishes done, the house is clean, the meals are made? What if we actually prepare for the day? And that's actually what God taught his Israelites to do. Again, he knew how they were. So when the Israelites were wandering for 40 years in the desert, he sent down something called manna, bread from heaven. You know, it was like Panera bread from heaven. He sent it down for them. But the day before the Sabbath, you know what he did? He had them pick up 2 baskets full so they didn't have to pick it up on the Sabbath. They were prepped for the day. They got ready for it. And I want to encourage you, choose a day to Sabbath, to cease, to stop, but prepare for that. Plan ahead for that. And it's interesting, even the Israelites, having God do all this for them, you know what they did? They still did it. They still went out. They still worked. And it says this, on Saturday, some of the people went out to gather some of the food, but they could not find any. And I think that's why a lot of people, they still just keep on trying to work and they feel so unproductive. They keep on trying to make things happen, but nothing seems to be happening because God has designed us to stop, to cease, to rest. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will your people refuse to obey the commands and teachings? God simply said, I'm giving you the bread, just chill. But they kept on pushing past what God had designed. So I want to encourage you to prepare for the day. You, if you're by yourself, you're a teenager today, prep that day. If it's Saturday, what do you want to do? What's the plan? Prep for that day. If you're a mom or dad and you need to prepare the house, clean the house the night before, make sure everything's perfectly put together, create the meals, get it all set up for that day so you can rest. The second thing is schedule the day. Schedule that day. Because here's the reason. Mark 2:27 tells us this. Jesus said to them, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. This day is actually supposed to be a blessing for your life. And how I like to think of it, do what you can't do during the week on this day. What can't you do? So during my week, working at the church, kind of busy, always moving, got stuff to get done, got cars that are breaking down, trying to clean this, trying to do that. My wife's running out the door. I'm doing this. We don't have time just to spend 3 hours with our kids at a park. We don't. But on our Sabbath, we can set and schedule, hey, let's do 3 hours together as a family on this day and just enjoy each other on the day. Maybe it's with your spouse. Hey, we don't, during the week, it's just nuts and we don't got time to really even catch up. But what if there was some time where you and your spouse just said, hey, we're going to have 3-4 hours where we're going to go on a date. Hey, maybe it's you just by yourself and you're like, well, I don't know what to do. Hey, maybe it's like that car ride. Maybe it's like, I just need to get out into nature and just take that drive that I can't do during the week. Maybe it's a 2-hour just car ride alone in the car with Jesus. Whatever that looks like, what sounds like rest to you? What does that look like? It's actually supposed to be for you. Plan that week out. Maybe it's you deciding, hey, I'm going to have no phones during this time. We're just going to have all phones shut off. There's a good amen moment. You know, just put those phones away, shut the TV off, no internet for the whole day. Can you imagine if we actually did that? The whole day without YouTube? The whole day without looking? What if there was just a day where we just put it all away and just enjoyed the day? I believe you'd be refreshed. Setting apart, schedule that day out, plan that day out. And the last and the most important thing is to center the day. The other two are fine, but this is the most important. Jesus tells us this, Matthew 11:28, and I believe this is he's speaking today to somebody in here. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Make Jesus the center of that day. Have a day where Jesus is the center of it. And I heard one pastor say it this way. I thought it was so good. He said, you know, most of the time we have like 15 to 30 minutes any day to actually spend with the Lord. Like, you know, read our Bible, pray a little bit before we go to work. And, you know, we encourage you at this church to read 3 chapters a day and get into God's word. But what if there was one day for 2 hours you just sat with Jesus? 2 hours where you just had your Bible and him and some worship music. I think most of us would say, well, I'm just too busy. I can't do that. God's designed this day to be the day where you find rest. Without Jesus, you will never be fully satisfied. You will never have your soul at peace. And I'm looking at this since like God put a key in your life to unlock a blessing of rest. He says, here it is. It's called the Sabbath. It's the Shabbat for you. And you and I are like, I don't know if I got too much to do. And so here's my challenge for each and every one of you, including myself, is choose a day, one day, where you choose to rest. You choose to set apart. Now, if you say, well, I can't, then I think it's time to prioritize what's going on in your life. There's too much. We got this game. We got this thing. We got this activity. It's time to cool down. I talked to a young couple here this morning, and we're talking about the benefits of COVID. One of the benefits of COVID is it made everybody just stop. And I don't know if you feel what I'm feeling, but I feel like things are starting to pick back up again. We're starting to all get busy again, things to accomplish again. And it's like we need to learn to rest and stop. I have an illustration for you. I got 2 pieces of lumber. So this is the first one. It's called Bob, okay? Here's Bob. It's a nice piece of lumber, isn't it? Okay, that was mean to Bob. Okay, yes, Bob, you are nice. So here's Bob. This is Stan. 8 feet tall, thin, good-looking people, okay? These pieces of lumber are the exact same wood. Exact same. But do you notice there's a little difference to them? One got a little bit more sun. It's called being pressure-treated. So this piece of lumber has been pressure-treated. Now, some of you all know what this means. This piece of lumber, the one that's been pressure-treated, can be outside in really bad conditions. This one, Bob, you put him outside, at first he'll be fine, but if he's out there during an Iowa winter, through snow, through cats peeing on him, through, you know, all that happens outside, eventually Bob is going to what? Rot. He's going to slowly begin to crack and wither, and he'll become brittle. They're actually the same strength right now. There's nothing different between them. But as soon as Bob gets outside in the weather, he's going to slowly fall apart. But Stan, he can be outside. He can handle the snow, the rain, the pee. He can go through it all because he's been pressure treated. He's been put through a process that has prepared him to be outside in the weather. Pressure treated simply means this. They have put chemicals inside of him. It's added integrity in the conditions that would make him strong and keep him able to resist the rot. And when God is the center and we're Sabbathing, I believe those moments we get pressure treated. So when we go out during our week and the struggles and the things that hit us during the week, we're able to handle the storm. We're able to handle the rain, the thing that comes, but you have to have that rest. If we don't have that rest, church, we will slowly rot. We will slowly get brittle and we'll begin to fall apart. God has never designed you to be running 100 miles an hour every single day. It's never been designed that way. I'll invite the worship team forward. He gave you a key. It's called the Sabbath. And he says, I want you to stop, to cease, to rest. But that it doesn't just happen. I believe we need to pick a day, but we need to prepare for that day. I believe one of the best things we can do is schedule that day. And finally, keep centered on that day. Keep Jesus. And when we do that, it's not designed to be Lord over us, but it's designed to be a blessing for us. I was thinking about, we're going to sing a song called Jesus Paid It All. Jesus paid it all, meaning that what he did accomplished everything. And I believe that through the cross, there's freedom from anxiety. I believe through the cross, he's opened the chasm to heaven where we can experience rest and peace for your soul. Some of you are so worn out. You're so tired and stressed. You have so much on your plate. You can't keep going. And you are that Bob without any pressure treated, and you're slowly just rotting on the inside, and you're feeling like, how can I keep going? And God's saying, come away with me. Come away, and I will give you rest. The Sabbath is a free gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to stand in line at Costco. You can simply enjoy it. It's God's gift to you to rest. Because Jesus paid it all. He conquered it. And I believe biblically, anxiety shouldn't rule your life. Fear shouldn't rule your life. Being worn out, barely surviving, shouldn't be who we are. Jesus said, I have come to give life and life abundant. I'll always love that. Here's life, but here's this next level of life, abundant life. And I've come to give that to you. But you know, Satan, I've come to kill, steal, and destroy. My babies, when they cry at 1 o'clock in the morning, they're killing my sleep. They're stealing my joy. They're robbing my rest. And I think Satan often is like a baby at 1 o'clock in the morning who's like, hey, you got things to do. Run, go, can't rest. Nope, too much to accomplish, go. And we're like, okay, I'll keep going. I'll keep running to the beat of that drum. And Jesus is like, come to me and I will give you rest. We're going to sing this song together. We're going to have people on the prayer team on the front and on the side. And I want to encourage you, if you are that piece of lumber that's just worn out and you're just exhausted, your emotions are just fried and you're barely trying to get by, the Bible tells us where two or more are gathered together, he's there. And so I want to encourage you to come forward and just get prayer this morning. Let somebody come alongside you and just pray with you and love on you no matter what you're going through. And for all of us, we need to learn to Shabbat, to stop, to rest, and to trust that he can take care of us. He's got you this far. He can take care of the rest. So why don't you guys stand with me? We're going to sing the song, and then I'm going to come up and say something, and we're going to do something as a church family. But we're just going to sing this song. And if you just need prayer this morning, you're worn out, you're exhausted, you have worked as hard as you can, you're going, and you just need somebody to come alongside you, I encourage you, come forward, get prayer this morning.